letter to the church in Philippi. It says, starting in verse 27, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that they will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I don't know whether that's the kind of passage you were expecting. Maybe it's, you know, you might sit there thinking, are you sure you just read the right page? Did you flick across? You know, because we're talking about children here, and then suddenly we're looking at kind of Paul. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel, imitating Christ's humility. See, I think the danger is when we think about children, when we think about how we're working amongst them, the part they need to play within the life of the church, is that we can look at the stories of where Jesus gathered children to him, you know. We can look at the stories and we have those nice images of, you know, in one arm Jesus holding a little lamb, in the other arm he's holding a child. And it's just kind of, you know, it's lovely and warm and cuddly. And it's the kind of picture that you might have on a wall somewhere, or you'll do a colouring in. And we can miss, actually, I think, the reality of what it means to model something amongst our children, to actually challenge them as to how they're living. Paul writes, verse 27, "Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel." Not kind of half-heartedly here, but this is serious. Living, you know, life in a manner worthy of the gospel, which is, I think, both an inward question for each one of us, as to say, okay, where am I at with that? But also, how is that something that is being seen? Not so everyone looks at me and go, wow, you're amazing. You know, you're really doing this whole manner worthy of the gospel thing good. But actually, people see in us Jesus. And the children that are part of this family, part of this church, see in us something that is different. Something that isn't of this world, that is unique and special, and something that they go, that's what I want. That's what I want to grow into. That's what I want to understand. In many ways, I believe Paul's saying to the church, he's saying, you know, don't hide or apologize for your existence. Be who you are called to be. Be you united, he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 2. In many ways, kind of get yourself sorted, get back together. We don't know the particular issues that they're going through, but sort out these different things. And he unpacks verse 2, you know, being like-minded, having the same love, not being, you know, it's not saying kind of we're united in that there's a set rule book we've got to go through here, but actually, you know, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, he goes in verse 3. humility, value others above yourself. He's unpacking some of these challenges that, again, are things we can easily just brush over and go kind of, well, yeah, I kind of sign up to that. Rather than actually saying, so what is this meaning for me in my life? What impact is this happening in terms of how I'm living? And then ultimately he's gone on, you know, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And there's these verses which I can remember at Bible college kind of going through and hearing different perspectives, different points of view on what Paul's saying. We're looking at, you know, verse 6 onwards. We see this story being told of what Jesus did for you and for me and for everyone else, for anyone that there has ever been. And this illustration of humility, of selflessness, and not as a telling off, Paul's sharing this, but rather a reminder. This is the heart of who you are. This is what you've discovered. How is this informing and challenging and directing your life? And I think for us, it's how is this what we're modeling amongst the children of our church? How is this what we're encouraging, what we're teaching, what we're guiding them in? Yes, we want children to learn the stories of the Bible, but how are we actually, as a group, modeling something so much more? And how are we helping them to grapple with some of this, not waiting till they're 18 or till they can give us a nice eloquent answer, but the reality of what this means for life today? The New Testament church depicted, we see this painting, if you will, of the family gathered together. I don't see kind of descriptions of kind of, well, the children are over here, the young people are over here, the old people, well, they were just kind of pushed to the back. And then they're one together. I'm sure they would have kind of fallen out. I'm sure they would have had issues. I'm sure they would have had arguments. There would have been things to grapple with. But there's this model being presented of actually how are they in this together. But I wonder whether for us, that model maybe has come down to moments such as that Kodak moment of an infant dedication, where we gather together and we have a nice picture taken and it looks brilliant, but in reality, the rest of our lives don't match up. And so it's saying, what does it mean for us to actually take seriously the challenge of seeing the children amongst us grow and develop? Seeing the children amongst us grappling with what it means to be all God's calling them to be right now. And asking that question, what part can I play in all of that? It's the whole idea of how am I engaging in this ministry? I want to share some examples of individuals who I've been reflecting, looking back, who have, I think, played key roles in my life, in terms of helping me develop and grow. There's a lady called Brenda. She was involved teaching the Sunday school when we lived down in Cornwall. And the fact that I remember week after week, you know, going and spending that time with her. And the fact that she practically gave herself in terms of teaching and equipping me and the other children, the other young people within that fellowship. I think of Trevor. Trevor was one of the worship leaders in the church. And I can remember as a child, being the slightly silly boy, maybe I was at times, I once tried to put a hole in a conker and I skewered my hand. And I went up to him after a Sunday service and I asked him to pray for me. Now, we might sit here and might think kind of, yeah, but you're just a bit silly, really. And it's a graze, it'll get better, and that's him. But he didn't. He did. He prayed with me. He took me seriously. I think of Julian, the kind of the children's youth leader. Someone who was a lot of fun, who kind of gave his time practically as we met as a group, committed to us. I think of a couple many of you may know, Andrew and Sally Freya Smith, who when what was that then Living Stones, the children's youth service that began in the dining hall at Clavering, as a couple, they supported myself and the other young people in actually saying, we want to give you the opportunities to develop, to grow. We're going to be there so that if it all goes a bit wrong, you know, we're not just going to kind of point a finger at you, but actually we'll work through this with you. I think of Jeff and Carolyn Haynes, again, names that you may be very familiar with, and the house group that they led, which as a teenager I became a part of. But not as kind of the oddity of kind of, ah, here's our token young person, we all feel good about ourselves. But actually as someone who went and was part of the group. And I look back at those times as, again, really defining opportunities for me. And jumping forward, I think of a couple who I had the privilege of knowing when I was the pastor at Beulah, called Jim and Eva. Every time I went and visited them, they were a couple in their 70s. Never kind of once were practically involved working amongst children, but they were a couple who were completely engaged in the ministry. And every time I met them, they'd want to know what was going on. How can we pray? And not as in kind of, so you had to tell them the whole thing again, but they'd pick up exactly where you left off. And they'd know what was going on, and they'd want to be found, how can we pray more purposefully? One more individual. A guy named Paul, who earlier this year, at a day that we were involved in at Kingswood Baptist Church, where the whole kind of church family was gathered together, looking at different issues together, he sat doing stickers with Ewan, my seven-year-old. And they sat, Ewan had his sticker book, and the kind of the discussion was going on, and you know, that sort of thing. But Paul was there sticking these stickers in and chatting with Ewan and engaging with him, valuing him for who he was. And maybe you sit there and you think, kind of, well, I didn't have those kind of people. I didn't have people who I can look back to who did such things. I think part of the challenge, and part of the challenge of the words from Philippians, are saying, well, how are we going to be such people? Out of that list, only one was a Sunday school teacher, but I believe they all impacted, they all valued, they all made a difference in terms of me personally and my life. And so I've got two questions I want to leave you with this morning. Firstly, it's the question of, where does God want you to be as a church? The morning that I shared yesterday with some of the children, some of the young people's team, in many ways left them with questions. Because it's not about saying this is the package and this is the resource and this is the answer, but it's actually saying, what is God asking you to do? And where is God wanting you to be? But furthermore, my second question is, what part does God want you to play? Because I believe every single one of us has that part to play. The question is whether we're going to engage in that. Whether we're going to look at who we are, what we can bring, the difference we can make. Or whether we'll just continue to kind of put it on to someone else. Recently, a friend of mine made a comment on Facebook. She's a teacher. She shared that she'd had a discussion with a child that day, and the child said to her, when I die, I won't go to heaven. And my friend said, why do you say that? And the child says, because I don't know which way to go. And the response that my friend was kind of saying, oh, wasn't that just so cute and so sweet and lovely? But the reality is that many children, what is heaven? I mean, maybe even heard of the concept. And as I've shared already, my heart is to grapple with that exciting challenge of, how do we share Jesus with children? How do we reach out? How do you reach out to the children of this community? But I think the bigger challenge first is, how are we even engaging with who they are with the ones that God has blessed us with, valuing them. And so when some would say, oh, they're just a child, they're just kind of waiting in the wings, they're just going to be building to something that one day will come to fruition and they can vote in 18 and all those sorts of things, I'm going to say no, they're not. They are created beings loved by God. He's blessed us with them. He's blessed you with them. And you have, maybe you look at it as a responsibility, maybe you look at it as an opportunity, but a privilege of being able to play a part in their lives as they hopefully grow, discover, and live for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the ministry of this church and the impact that it's had in my life personally. Lord, I want to thank you for the children that have grown up through this place over many years. And as we think of the opportunity that is before us, those that are in our midst right now, pray that you will help us both to personally grapple with what it means to live for you and what is it that we're modeling before them, but also practically how we can actually engage and support them and take seriously the fact that you call us to be your family, that we all have our part to play. May you speak into our hearts, into our lives as your church and as individuals, Lord.